Pray with me. Jesus, you are the one that has a mother's heart. Draw us near to you this morning. Be our teacher. Thank you for showing us how to overcome and for overcoming evil for us. Spirit, you are our comforter for all the moms and dads that have experienced loss, loss beyond belief, Lord. Those that are longing for heaven but are here with us today, help them to celebrate. Help them to be with us and help them to just know that you love them so very much. For the children and the adult children that have not had a mom or who are struggling with their moms, I ask that you heal their broken hearts. Comfort them the way only you can comfort them. Heal them the way only you can heal them. Father, you have created everything and you have created it good because you are good. And you are worthy of all of our praise. Help us to honor our moms today. Help us to honor you in everything that we say and do. Teach us from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many of you know I am a boy mom. And my boys grew to be 6 foot and 6 foot one tall men. And their mama taught them, what you nourish your body with matters and is important, but what you nourish your mind and your heart with matters so very much more, because that's what nourishes your soul. So we had the Bible on our table, and we read it most nights, either at dinner or at bedtime, depending on how crazy the day was, and we played worship music. We danced in the kitchen, and we danced in the car. We called that seat dancing. And those memories are so precious to me, along with the memories that we're making with our daughters and the rest of our family. We hold on to these, and we treasure them, and we treasure each other. But you know, some days it was hard to dance in the kitchen, but we put the music on anyways as a way to overcome our struggle. The enemy of your heart and the enemy of my heart wants us to stop dancing in the kitchen. He wants us to stop believing in our very good God. The enemy wants us to lose our faith. He's not just after our kids' faith. He's after our faith. That's why today is for you moms. Today is for me. After many years of pivoting and prayerfully asking what God would have for us and making a million decisions for our family and wondering if we're going in the right directions, waiting for something to move and something to change. In that waiting, we can lose sight of the full life that God has promised to us, and we can have a hard time feeling like we're actually overcoming anything at all. Often in the waiting, we forget to nourish our own hearts and our own souls. Are you here today wondering if you have what it takes, if you're enough? If you're wondering this, If you have what it takes to be your kid's mom, maybe you're comparing yourself to the other moms around you, and you're losing your joy and your strength and your hope. Are you fighting the wrong battles and the wrong people with the wrong weapons? When I find myself in that struggle, in that spiral, I sing the song we just sang, I will make room for him. I will lay every burden down, every crown, and I will surrender, and I will make room for Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about laying down the lies and the doubt and making room for Jesus in our lives. I want you to think about a time for you when it all became real. When did you really believe that if you were the only person, that Jesus would have died for you? Now, if you have never really felt that, I hope today is the day. I hope today is the day that Jesus speaks to your heart and draws you near to him and makes you know that he loves you and that you're enough because he's enough. I hope you'll see the love in his eyes when you love your people, and I hope you'll see the compassion for you when you mess up or when you're just having a very, very hard day. Jesus loves you, and he loves you always. This is not just what we tell our children. This is for us too. Moms, we can easily lose sight of the fact that we're treasured and delighted in. We are pursued because we are his child and his daughter first. And then we are moms. So this message is for you, and this message is for me. What does God want you to hear? What is the Holy Spirit gently whispering to you? Well, Sally Clarkson is one of my many mom mentors, and she sets a very, very, very high bar when she says, mothers were uniquely created to create goodness and calm chaos. I don't know if we can do that all the time. To kindle hope and foster faith. We are the beauty bringers and the soul shapers of our homes and our communities. Now, certainly, how a mom brings goodness, calms chaos, fosters hope and faith will be so unique to each and every mom. And there is no one way we will ever feel like we can measure up or do this call. And we can't do it alone. There is no possible way we can do it alone. Well, Barna recently conducted a research study and found mothers with confidants, close friends, were less likely to feel uncertain about the future or to feel tired all the time. What this means is we're designed to do life together. So to recap, the mission is big, the enemy is busy, and we can't do it alone. So how are we going to overcome evil? Well, the last few years have been a lot for us. And moms, you have had a very big, big job. And although I love this encouragement right here to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, and I remember it every time I'm brave enough to watch the news, if I'm honest, if I'm really honest, I just wish evil was just on the news. I wish it wasn't in our communities, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and sometimes even in my own heart. But it is. This isn't heaven, and it is here. It is in our neighborhoods, which means I need a plan. How am I going to overcome evil with good? Well, C.S. Lewis does an amazing job communicating this battle of good and evil. And it is a book that we've read to our family through years called The Chronicles of Narnia. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend that you read it out loud to your children. Well, in the second of the 7-volume series, Peter, Lucy, Edmund, and Susan are summoned once again to Narnia as young Prince Caspian seeks to regain his rightful place on the throne. And as the story unfolds, we learn that Caspian's true identity has been kept a closely guarded secret by an evil uncle. But his teacher reveals his true heritage. He is a child of the king, an heir. A civil war erupts, and when Prince Caspian challenges the evildoers who stole his crown. But during this battle of good and evil, 8-year-old Lucy is fighting on the side of good, and she is the only one that is hearing from Aslan, and Aslan represents Jesus. The others, Caspian, her brother and sisters, are distracted and end up doing what siblings do, right? Fighting with each other. Are we surprised? And they are losing their faith. At one point, Lucy follows her siblings and Caspian instead of following Aslan. Eventually, young Lucy courageously says, I do hope that you will come with us, with me, because I'll have to go with him whether everyone else does or not. Now, this single statement of surrender is so powerful. So many times we are people pleasers instead of God pleasers. Surrender and devotion are always the first steps in following Jesus and overcoming evil. Because when we surrender, when we say to Jesus, the answer is yes. No matter what you ask, the answer is yes. Well, we begin to hear his voice clearer then. And hearing his voice over the other voices is crucial. I don't know about you, Mom, but there's a lot of voices. And if I am going to hear his voice and overcome evil, I'm going to have to listen to him first. The reason these fictional stories resonate with our hearts is because we know they are a true reflection of what we face every day. And Jesus faced a very similar trial of surrender. At a crucial point in his ministry, he had just cast out demons, healed the sick, preached his heart out, but his family thinks he's out of his mind. And the leaders and teachers that should know better said he was evil, even though they had just watched him fighting evil. When faced with slander and losing his family and friends, Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." What Lucy was saying is if I have to choose between following Aslan and following you, I choose Aslan. Jesus says, if I have to go forward alone without my family and friends, I will. I don't want to, but I will. Make sure you and your friends are fighting the right enemy, the right battle, with the right weapons, or you will have the wrong plan to overcome evil. In Ephesians 6, we find God's plan for overcoming evil. Paul is in jail, and his heart and mind are on the people he is pastoring. He is worrying about them, and they are worrying about him, rightly so. And as Paul writes this letter, he would have been surrounded by Roman soldiers. So he uses the soldier's armor as a metaphor for how we are to overcome evil. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul says, our enemy is not our friends and family, people we work with, or our neighbors. The enemy wants us to point fingers at him or her, at that boss or that spouse or that family member, anything flesh and blood. There's a power at work in the world that we are fighting that is not flesh and blood, and that power will do anything to get us to fight with one another. Once again, my favorite author, C.S. Lewis, helps us to understand this battle in his book, Screwtape Letters, when he says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils." This is the enemy and his demons. One is to believe in their existence. The other is to disbelieve and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail or welcome and delight a materialist, someone who doesn't believe in the supernatural, or a magician, someone who seeks to use their powers for their own gain. What C.S. Lewis is pointing out to us is we are tempted to give ourselves credit for anything that is good, blame God for anything that is bad, and to deny that there is evil at all in the world. And this is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. We have an enemy, and we must know who he is to overcome him. Otherwise, we will fight the wrong battle and the wrong people with the wrong weapons. Paul goes on in verse 13, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Now, this evil day will look different for all of us. Evil days are when we're fighting with the kids and they're fighting with each other, when we're trying to connect with our husbands, but we just can't connect. They're when we listen to the news and there's just too much on the news that our heart can possibly take. Or maybe evil days are when our friends feel distant and we're starting to believe lies. Or evil days can be cancer or sickness, financial issues, slander, grief, and loss. Whatever the evil days looks like, what is true in that evil day is you will feel a sense and a loss of control. When we feel helpless and hopeless and we're trying to fight against something unseen, we will want to look for something seen to battle. We're going to either blame ourselves or blame somebody else, or we're going to want to run and hide. But notice, after Paul tells us to stand twice, he goes on and he says, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. Wow. In Greek and English, phrases are repeated for emphasis. So Paul repeats the word two more times. That's a total of four times that Paul tells us to stand. On what the Bible calls days of evil, we're told to stand our ground because the battle against good and evil is going to rage on, whether I stand or not, whether you stand or not, and resisting evil matters. It matters. This is important. Whether I want to run and hide or run and attack, I am told to stand. Stand still. And Paul lets us know, while we're standing, God has provided an armor to protect us. He then goes on to explain every piece of armor. First, he says, make sure you take the belt of truth and buckle it around your waist. This, Paul says, is essential. Now, if I don't have a belt, I'm going to look foolish, right? There's going to be a problem. You see, a soldier's belt held all the other weapons in place. If there isn't the truth in God's promises, and if I'm not holding on to those promises, then when we'll see in a moment, there will not be a breastplate of righteousness or a shield of faith. If there's not truth in the resurrection, and if I'm not putting my hope and my trust in Jesus, then there's no helmet of salvation. Without truth, we really are foolish. Truth is a crucial piece of armor because the enemy loves to lie about who you are and who God is. Even if you don't believe all that the Bible says about you, the enemy does. He knows you have a spirit of power and love and a strong mind. And he knows that truth wins in the end because Jesus wins in the end. It is no coincidence that Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. Paul continues, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, righteousness is right living and holiness. It's simply walking in integrity, being in the dark, who you are in the light. Righteousness protects our hearts and changes what we desire. When we desire to look more like Jesus and be more like Jesus, and we can't by our own power, and when we confess and we believe he forgives us and will forgive us every single time we ask, then we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness because Jesus is called our righteousness. The enemy knows that because of Jesus, even when we are not righteous, we are not condemned. And this truth has a power to protect our hearts like nothing else can. It has the power also to change us more into the image of Jesus, more into Jesus's likeness. Next, Paul says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, it's no mistake that the father in the parable of the prodigal son came running to his son that had spent his whole inheritance, his whole livelihood, and has ruined his father's reputation. But still, the father's ready to give the good news to his son. You are welcomed back into the family with full position and full forgiveness. Our Father's feet, our Heavenly Father's feet, are fitted with the readiness of the gospel, of the truth that he forgives us and he loves us, and nothing can separate us from that love. And he's ready to give peace to us, bringing peace and forgiveness and good news to the people in our lives are what God calls us to do. It's what he asks us to do, especially as moms and dads. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, if the enemy can get us to lower our shield, he really can win, can't he? These arrows are his lies about who we are, who you are, who God is. And often he uses our circumstances to distract us. He says things like, if these things could be happening in your life, there is no way God cares about you. But that is not true. Psalms 3:3 declares, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Jesus is the one that lifts our focus from our circumstances to the cross. The once and for all statement about his love, his goodness, and his power to overcome anything the enemy will ever throw at us. Jesus is our shield. When our children are young, we can use our shield to protect them. But as they grow older, they will have to pick up their own shield. Eventually, your shield will offer some protection, but not enough. This is a picture of a Roman soldier. This is the picture the audience that Paul was speaking to would have had in their minds. And these soldiers went into battle like this. This is called the Roman turtle formation. And when the enemy would light the flaming arrows and shoot them at the soldiers, this shield of protection was impenetrable. The people we surround ourselves with, our closest friends, will need to have a shield of faith of their own so we can stand strong together against the enemy's attacks and distractions. Next, Paul says, take up the helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet, it protects our minds, right? The Ephesian Christians at this time were being persecuted for their belief in Jesus. Ephesus was a beautiful city full of sorcery and wild idol worship. The people there worshiped Artemis. They sought her for control over the circumstances of their lives, and they sought her for salvation. They looked to her temple for comfort and refuge, and it really was beautiful. In the 2nd century BC, the Greek poet Sidon compiled the list of the 7 wonders of the world. He described the temple of Artemis like this. I have seen the wall of lofty Babylon, the statue of Zeus by the Alpheus, the hanging gardens, and the Colossus of Rhodes, the huge labor of the high pyramids. But when I saw the house of Artemis, those other marvels lost their brilliancy. Paul knew the Ephesians would need something strong to protect their minds from a culture that worshiped in such a beautiful temple filled with self, filled with a temple that filled with anything you want goes. You're entitled to have it all. There's no need to put any limit on your lusts. In a culture full of me first, where anything that feels good must be good, Jesus shows us that love actually puts others first. The helmet of salvation guards our minds, and Jesus is our salvation. We are saved through Jesus' love for us and his sacrificial love that showed us how to love and that we are loved. After the helmet of salvation, Paul tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, a sword is offensive. So far, we've put on defensive armor, but now we're picking up a sword? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word of God is unfortunately often used to attack people. But when Jesus used scripture, he used it to attack the enemy. Jesus used scripture to go on the offensive against the enemy's lies. He said, it is written 3 times. The enemy tempted Jesus to meet his own physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And when he did, Jesus quoted scripture back to him. Now, Jesus is called the Word of God, and he has given us his word to fight evil. Paul finally concludes with, and I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, he tells us to be alert, because when we're faced with evil, many times we are surprised. Many times we act like we are living in the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more evil, no more death, and no more sickness. If we're not alert, we will use ineffective weapons like control, catastrophizing, arguing, blaming, competing. These weapons only hurt us more. The good news for me, is the best worriers can become the best warriors. Many times, we think prayer is ineffective, and that's why we struggle or stop to pray. But the older I get, the more that time with Jesus has become so precious to me, and I have seen talking to Jesus gives me strength, and it also gives me wisdom. There have been times I have needed wisdom, and he has shown me things I would not have seen on my own. Parents, moms, dads, we are not alone in our parenting. I cannot help but trust Jesus. He's at work even when I don't see him working. When things are peaceful in my family, my prayers are praise and thanksgiving. And when evil is coming against my people, my prayers are also intercession and lament. These are the various types of prayers that Paul talked about. And let me just say, if you walk in while I'm praying, there might be yelling, there might be crying, and I might look a little crazy. But I promise it's the same spirit that I'm praying in. Now I wonder if this is why Jesus' family thought he was a little out of his mind. I wonder if he was just trying to get some time alone and his people walked in on him while he was praying. Maybe he was interceding for his friends and his family or for the religious and political leaders of his day. Now, praying in the Spirit, praying the will of God would be done, is how we stand firm against evil. Every piece of armor is pointing us to Jesus. The armor is put on as we pray, and that armor is Jesus. When Jesus overcame evil for us, he laid his life down for us. It didn't look like he was overcoming evil. And at times, our lives will look more like a mess than a message. Maybe you're here today feeling like your life looks more like a mess than a message. I've certainly been in this room and felt like that many times. Sometimes you'll feel like your life is more of a trial than a triumph. But we can continue to follow Jesus in his example that he has set to overcome evil with good, to love our enemies, and to stand firm. When I can only think of all the reasons why I should run and hide instead of standing firm, I remember Jesus said, "It is finished." When the worst possible thing happened to the best possible person, he said, "It is finished. The evil is swallowed up. He is the one that is good. He is the one that calms our chaos. He is the one that gives hope and faith. He is the beauty bringer and the soul shaper of our homes and communities. Because he is all these things and so much more. I am an overcomer, and you are an overcomer because of Jesus. We already know who wins in the end. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for giving everything to show us your love. Jesus, thank you for overcoming evil and showing us how to overcome. Thank you for making us overcomers. Spirit, you make us brave. Fill us now. Fill us completely with your power and your love. Help us to live fully aware of your presence. Help us to share your love and your peace and hope courageously with the people in our lives. Amen.